for this morning. We're going to be answering the age-old question on New Year's Day, to resolve or not to resolve. That is the question. Thanks, Roberta. And we'll be looking at that from Paul's letter, his second letter to the Thessalonians. So if you'll turn there now, 2 Thessalonians. We'll be in chapter 1 today, looking at Paul's prayer for them and see that it's a prayer for us as well. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Walt Grumpt is going to come now and read verses 11 and 12.
To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, may fulfill every resolve for good, and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for your great love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you that you have given us Jesus to be our Savior, that you've given us your Spirit to empower us to live for your glory, and you've given us your Word to show us that Jesus is the great Savior, and to show us the way that you would have us live while we wait for you. And so we ask this morning, as maybe we're looking back on 2016, looking forward to 2017, that you would answer this prayer for us, individually and as a church, that you would get glory from our lives according to your grace and by your mighty power. Would you do that? Would you meet with us now? Show us that Jesus is the great Savior, and give us grace to resolve to live so that his name is made known and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, it is indeed New Year's Day, right? It's a time when we take stock of the year that's been. Perhaps you've taking some time to reflect on 2016, or you've watched some of those videos that are a retrospective of 2016. It's a time to take stock of the year that's been, and it's also a time to look forward to the year that is yet to be. It's a time when we maybe take stock of our lives. Are we what we want to be? And very often when we do that, we make resolutions. Here's how I'm going to be different. We want to look better. We want to feel better. We want to be better. Maybe our resolutions are about new experiences or not repeating old experiences. Some resolutions are silly, like eating more Cheese Whiz in 2017. That is a real resolution, right, Steve? Is that your one? Oh, you have others. Okay, that is... Okay, so that's one of Steve's resolutions. Recently, he had something with Cheese Whiz on it. I was like, man, I love this stuff. I need to do more of this in the future. I'm sure he has deeper resolutions than those two, right? No. All right, so some of our resolutions are silly, right? It was more fried chicken a couple of years ago. Is that right? That's good. So some resolutions are silly. They're like that, right? While others are much more serious, right? Whether you're gonna eat healthy, you're gonna lose weight, you're gonna write that book that you've always wanted to write. I know that's on everyone's list of things that they're gonna do. But have you ever felt the frustration of making resolutions and then not keeping them? Anybody ever not kept a New Year's resolution? All right, there we go. I see all those hands. You can come forward later. Right? So what can happen then is, if you do that enough, like you make a resolution and you go, it didn't happen again, like it does every year, you might be tempted to give up and say, what's the point of resolutions? You know, who decided January 1st was the new year anyway? Why does it even matter? This is dumb. Why can't I just enjoy my family and the holidays? And why do we have to have a resolution about getting more fit while we're still eating the leftovers? It just doesn't seem right. Well, I would encourage you not to give up and not to focus on the year, right? It's not so much about, okay, 365, well, actually 66 this year because it was a leap year, have passed, and now there are 365 days this year in which to live. Sure, you can make them year by year. It is a time where we stop and reflect, but it doesn't have to be. So if you're sick of New Year's resolutions, that's okay. Please stay tuned in. Because I think there are reasons for us to make resolutions, not just on New Year's, but for every year, every quarter, every month, every week, every day. And what makes a good resolution? This is sometimes part of the problem and leads to the frustration. Well, a good resolution would be a little more specific and less generic. Think things like eat less. How do you measure that, right? Exercise more. Well, for some of us, that'd be easy, right? I did it once. That's more than last year. Sin less. I want to sin less this year, right? It's like, okay, well, how did I, you know, am I counting every one? And it's like, all right, well, I'm having a good week. Yell at our kids less. That might be a resolution that some of us may actually need to make. What else? Yell at other drivers less. On the boulevard particularly, or just anywhere. It's amazing being out this week. I'm like, okay, that's why I'd never go anywhere, right? Or maybe gossip less. That's always a good one, but I doubt it's on anyone's list. Pray more. That's always on everyone's list. But again, how do we do that? How do we measure that? Or read the Bible more? So those are a little too general, right? But that's how we tend to, I want to do this a little more. But it's not measurable, right? A good resolution is going to be measurable. It's going to have at least some shot at being fulfilled. But we also don't want it to be too big so you don't give up after 2 days, right? I'm going to read the Bible every month this year. It's like in the first 10 minutes, you're already behind. That's too big. It's too much. You can't do it. So we don't want them too big, so we give up. But you don't want it too little either. You know, I'm going to read a book of the Bible this year. Oh, look, Philemon. It's so short. And you're done in 10 minutes. Like, I've reached, you know, check it off. Boy, I'm good this year, right? You don't want to do that either. So it needs to be measurable, but we also, and it needs to be reachable in some sense, but we also want our resolutions to be meaningful, right? I mean, sure, it's fine, Steve, to want to eat. I would actually be with you on that resolution to eat more Cheese Whiz. That's fine. I can be comfortable with a resolution like that. But we want our resolutions, when we're talking about real resolutions, we want them to be meaningful, right? We want them to be measurable, and we want them to be meaningful. We want them to be for God's glory. And if we really do come up with some meaningful resolutions, this is how I really want to change. This is how I really want to grow in holiness. This is how I really want God to be glorified in my life, then it would make sense that we don't just do it once a year. It would make sense that this is something that's a daily, a weekly, monthly, that builds up to a year. What really makes a good resolution is remembering it and following through, right? Because even if we work really hard this week or in this past week or in these next couple days, if you have another day or two off of work before you go back, you say, okay, I'm going to come up with measurable, meaningful resolutions, and then in a month you have no idea what they were, then they're not quite as meaningful as you would have hoped, right? Jonathan Edwards, a pastor and theologian in New England in the 1700s, he wrote for himself 70 resolutions when he was about 20 years of age. They're pretty incredible. They're filled with God-glorifying goals. They're big. They're serious. And there's a note at the beginning that I love. It says this: remember to read over these resolutions once a week. He wrote them. I've read them a couple of times in my life, a few times now. And I read them and go, oh man, oh wow, oh that's good, that's challenging, oh that cuts deep, that's good. And then it's like, you know, a few years later I look at them again and go, oh yeah, those are good. Wonder if, not that I need to have his resolutions, but I probably would do well to have some of those resolutions because they're good. And it's like, oh yeah, that's a really good one. Yeah, okay. So he says, remember to read over these resolutions once a week. He'd worked on them, and he believed that keeping them would help him walk with God. So if they're that important, then we want to treat them that way. So sure, this is a message about resolutions because we're thinking about them because it's New Year's Day today. But it's really about resolving every day to follow Christ and to live for his glory. As you do that, you'll find that you can't do it. You can't keep your resolutions. None of us can. At least you can't do it alone. But you can do it by God's power. So maybe you're frustrated with resolutions because you already knew that. The secret's out. You can't keep them. I can't keep them. I can't do it. And you've given up. I want to urge you not to give up. As we look now at Paul's prayer, we have lots of reasons not to give up on these daily resolutions to follow Christ and to live for his glory, which leads to the big idea for this morning's message. According to God's grace, let's resolve to live for God's glory by God's power. According to God's grace, let's resolve, whether you're into resolutions or not, let's resolve to live for God's glory by God's power. So let's look first at the last phrase, by God's power. Let's look at our text again and see if you can hear where it comes out. To this end, Paul says, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to make our resolutions today and every day with the same humility, actually, that Jonathan Edwards expressed at the beginning of his resolutions. I mentioned that note about wanting to read them once a week, but listen to this. This is what he wrote at the top. This was the heading for his 70 resolutions. Being sensible that I am unable to do anything without God's help, I do humbly entreat him by his grace to enable me to keep these resolutions so far as they are agreeable to his will, for Christ's sake. Are you sensible? Do you sense that you are unable to do anything for God's glory by yourself? If you are, if I am, let's resolve to ask God for his help this year. And so, yeah, first one can be pray more, but maybe not so generic. Let's resolve to be seeking God's face continually through prayer, seeking his help to love God and love our neighbor. That's big. That gets us right out of the gate, right? Jesus said, here's the two great commandments. You do these, you've kept the whole law and the prophets. It's like, those, couldn't you give us two other ones, two easier ones, two a little less comprehensive ones? But he didn't. He gave us these big ones so that we would be sensible. We would sense that we couldn't do it on our own, that we have to have him. And the first hint in our text that we need God's power is the fact that this is a prayer. It says, to this end, we always pray for you. It's how he prays for the Thessalonians. It's how we should pray for one another. And it's what we should want. It's what we should pray for ourselves. And that this is what Paul prays is an indication that it's not something that's just going to happen. It's not something that we can accomplish on our own. And it's made explicit in the requests that follow. So it's a prayer, but it's a prayer that what? That God may make you worthy of his calling. God is the one who does it. So when we see this first request, that what are we asking God to do? That God would make you worthy of his calling. Worthy, it may call to mind thoughts like, well, I'm not worthy to be God's child. Like, I know that. I get that I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy. And you're exactly right. None of us is worthy. Calling, worthy of his calling. That's the other word there. Calling is significant in Paul's letters, and it helps us understand what we're talking about when it says that God would make us worthy. His calling in Paul's letters speaks of God's calling us to salvation. It's that call that doesn't fail, that says, come believe in me, and we respond with faith. And so when we talk about God making us worthy of his calling, it doesn't mean worthy to be his children. It means worthy of this calling to salvation. Not that we've earned it, but that he has given it to us and we look like it's actually happening in us. Ephesians 4:1 helps us with this. It has both of these same concepts. Paul says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. This calling to be in Christ. So it doesn't mean that we're ever worthy of salvation. It means that God makes us by his power what he declares us to be when we first trust in Christ. So when we first trust in Christ, the fancy theological term for that is that we are justified. It's justification, that we are made right with God, that God declares us on the basis of our faith in him and Christ's work for us, that we are declared righteous. We are declared not guilty, that even though we've sinned over and over and over again, that when God looks at us, he looks at Jesus and his work for us and declares us not guilty. Justification by faith alone is good news, because we could never earn it. So in justification, God declares us righteous and holy. And then in sanctification, there's another word, sanctification, God makes us righteous and holy. That's all we mean. If you hear that, if someone talks about sanctification, it means progressively being made more like Christ. Being made holy, being made righteous. And this is how it works. God's the one who must do this. God's the one who justifies the ungodly. We don't make ourselves good enough and finally God accepts us and calls us righteous because we are. No, God declares us righteous. And then by his power in us, he sanctifies us. He makes us holy. He makes us righteous. And so this prayer is that God would do that in us, that he would make us worthy of his calling, the calling that he's called us with, the calling to be his child. We're never worthy to be his child, but he gradually makes us into what he has already called us to be. And this happens by God's power, not by our own. He's the one who saves us. He's the one who keeps us. He's the one who will make sure that we make it all the way to the end. So he's asking that God would make us worthy of his calling, that God would fulfill every resolve for good, every work of faith by his power. So first, this must be by God's power. And I hope that's helpful, because if you're coming in feeling your weakness, I can't do this. I can't live for God's glory. Well, it happens by God's power, not yours. We don't look inside us for all the resources that we have and go, okay, I can do this. No, we look inside not to look for what's great in us, but that the Holy Spirit lives in us, The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that is at work in you to make you more like Christ, to help you fight against your sin, to help you love God and your neighbor as yourself. So first, this happens by God's power. By God's power, we must resolve to live for God's glory. So we've stressed so far, this is God's work. He's the one who justifies us. He's the one who sanctifies us. But in sanctification, there's this mystery. We're told to work at it. In fact, Paul in his letter to the Philippians says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And you go, okay, we're really supposed to do this. But then he follows it up immediately with this: for it is God who's at work in you, both to desire and to do according to his good pleasure. We've said it often here over the years. God works through our work. When we're working, it doesn't mean that God's not. It actually means that God is. If you ever want to do right, God's at work in your life. If you ever actually do right, which is probably a little bit less than you want to do right, God is at work in your life to give you the will to do it and to give you the ability to carry it out. So working hard is not antithetical to the gospel of grace. Working hard is not antithetical to the gospel of grace. It's the fruit of God being at work in your life. Working hard is the fruit of God being at work in your life. So that first request was that God would make us worthy of his calling. The second one is that he may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power. And why? So that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him. So let's look first at may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power. What is that? Well, Paul assumes here that the Thessalonians have plans to do good and that their faith will result in works by God's power. And he prays that God would fulfill those purposes. So whether you're making New Year's resolutions or not, what are you resolved to do with your life for God's glory? What good plans do you have? You say, I'm done with plans. They always get blown up. Well, what good purposes do you have? What do you say, by God's grace, if I'm allowed to live and he empowers me to do so, I'm going to do this for his glory? That's a calling for every one of us. He says, may God fulfill your resolve for good. Do you have a resolve for good? Is there something you say, yes, this is what I want to do for God's glory? What good do you long to see accomplished? What wrong do you long to see made right? And we rest in that Jesus is going to come back and right every wrong. But while we wait, we work. We work to see his name glorified. What good do you long to see accomplished? Do you pray for it? Have you considered that God might make you part of answering that prayer? And we don't make resolutions, right, just because it's New Year's Day. In fact, that's not really the point at all, because in reality, we often do forget or fail completely at the resolutions we've made. Gyms are going to make a killing this month on people who are going to go 2 or 3 times, right? You get annual memberships, and you're going to go twice. Well, you'll go more than that. The other people go twice. I probably wouldn't even go that many times. So it's not just the new year, and it's not just, well, let's make a resolution or let's be afraid of making a resolution because we're going to fail, we're going to forget it. The point is this: growth in becoming more like Christ doesn't just happen. It's going to take intentional effort. It will take resolve. It won't be easy. Why? Well, Satan doesn't want this for us. You have an enemy. If you are in Christ, you have an enemy. You have an accuser. You have one who would love to see you say, you know what, I've done that bad thing too many times, and God could never use someone like me. If you're hearing those words in your head, those words are not from the Holy Spirit. Satan wants you to be crushed and burdened down by your sin. The Holy Spirit wants something very different for you. Satan doesn't want holiness for us. He doesn't want resolve for good for us. He doesn't want us to help anyone else. He doesn't want us to tell people that Jesus is the great Savior. He doesn't want our lives to look like Jesus is the great Savior. So Satan doesn't want this for us, and our flesh fights against us at every turn. Do you feel it? We even sang it this morning. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And then it was followed with a prayer. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. You seal it for your courts above. So Satan doesn't want this for us. Our flesh fights against us at every turn. But what was the first point? We have in us the power that we need to obey. The power to do good. Not in a look inside yourself, believe in yourself kind of way. If you think hard enough, then you'll feel the force, right? It's not that. It's that God himself has come to live in us by his Spirit. And he empowers us to obey. So may God fulfill every resolve for good, every work of faith by his power. Faith in Christ results in works for his glory. Not so that we can say, look at all the works I did, God. But so that people see that God is at work in us. And that's where we get to next. May fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power. Why? So that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. I mean, isn't that what we want? We would all say that, right? If you're a follower of Jesus, of course I want God to be glorified with my life. Of course I do. But how does this happen? It happens as we show with our lives that Jesus is our Lord. When that happens, we make him look like the great Savior that he is. These resolutions aren't so that people will say, oh, look at that dedicated. Look at that great, look at that beautiful person. It's not so they'll see how dedicated or how great or how beautiful we are. It's like what Jesus said in Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men. So that what? They'll see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. Do you believe that that can actually happen? That the name of our Lord Jesus can be glorified in you? In what you say? In what you do? Again, not because you're so great, but because God's at work in your life. That he has all the resources you need to glorify him and for others to know what a great Savior he is. So we want to resolve for good. We want God to fulfill these resolutions and these works of faith so that the name of our Lord Jesus would be glorified in us. The next part is a little surprising. Look back at your text in verse 12. The first part, that makes sense, right? So the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him. And you in him. It's like, what is that? So it's the name of our Lord Jesus be glorified in you, and that you would be glorified in him. We're glorified too? yes, in Christ. And this is one of the many beautiful and glorious gifts of grace that comes to us through the gospel. It's mentioned in Romans 8, those whom he justified, those whom he declared righteous, he also glorified. He also makes sure that they'll make it all the way to the end. He also makes sure that their light will shine. Everyone that he declares righteous will be righteous, finally and forever. And that happens along the way. So in Romans 8, it goes straight from justified to glorified, and that's fine, but there's something in between. That's now. That we're justified, we know for sure we're not yet glorified. And yet God, by his grace, is moving us toward that day as we are sanctified. How do we grow in being glorified? How do we move toward being glorified? As we behold God's glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us this. That as we behold his glory, we're changed into the same image that we see. We're made to look more like Christ from one degree of glory to another. It doesn't mean, okay, if I go home and I read my Bible for 3 hours this afternoon, I'm just going to be holy. Right? Oh, it'd be nice if that could be that way. But it's not. It's going to be bit by bit, day by day, going back and seeing him over and over and over again. We'll be changed to be like him, and one day we will be fully glorified in him. And all of this is according to God's grace. By his power, we want to resolve to live for his glory. And as we do, we recognize that it's all according to his grace. That last little bit of verse 12. According to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is all of grace. Even our good resolutions, our works by faith, are according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our good works, even works of faith, aren't enough to get us on God's good side. And if that's why you're working, stop. No matter what you do, it will never be enough to get on God's good side. We have all sinned. We have all, as Romans 3 tells us, fallen short of the glory of God. We have not given him the glory that he deserves from our lives. And for that, we deserve to be separated from him and from his glory forever. But our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to leave the glory of the Father's side. It's what we've just celebrated at Christmas. That Jesus was willing to leave the glory of the Father's side and to come down and to become one of us, like us in every way except for sin. But then to bear our shame on the cross, to take all our sins on him, all the ways that we had fallen short. He took all those on him. In his death, he paid the price for our punishment so that we could be reconciled to God. So we don't get on God's good side because we resolve to live for his glory. That's not what this message is about. We don't get on God's good side because we resolve to live for his glory. We resolve to live for his glory because we have been put on his good side forever through the work of Jesus for us. That we're amazed at this grace. We're amazed that he would look at us and all our failures and all the resolutions that we haven't kept, all the glory he deserves that we haven't given him, and would say, I choose him, I choose her to be my child, to be loved by me forever. When we know that we're saved by this great Savior, by his grace and by his power, we want to resolve to live for his glory. So according to God's grace, let's resolve to live for God's glory by God's power. I'm going to read a quote from D.A. Carson, a professor and a pastor. And let's be stung a little bit by this. People do not drift toward holiness. Apart from grace-driven effort, people do not gravitate toward godliness, prayer, obedience to Scripture, faith, and delight in the Lord. We drift toward compromise and call it tolerance. We drift toward disobedience and call it freedom. We drift toward superstition and call it faith. We cherish the indiscipline of lost self-control and call it relaxation. We slouch toward prayerlessness and delude ourselves into thinking we have escaped legalism. We slide toward godlessness and convince ourselves we have been liberated. We didn't drift toward holiness in 2016, and we won't drift toward holiness in 2017 either. It will happen through resolve for good. It will happen through hard work by faith, by God's power, according to His grace. This isn't a figure it out and get strong and let's do this in 2017. It's let's cast ourselves upon the Lord. Let's pray this prayer with Paul. God, would you give us resolves for good? We're going to be talking about some of those next week on Vision Sunday, where we believe that God is leading us as a church to grow in holiness and in love for our neighbors and for our world. But today, let's think personally, individually. Where does God want me to grow? Where do I know already that I need to grow? Where's that sin that I've just been giving into, that I've just kind of given up? Like, well, that one's always going to be with me. And we've stopped fighting. By God's grace, let's fight. We're not going to drift toward holiness. We'll put somewhere this week on Facebook or put one of those or three or four of those wonderful things, the 70 resolutions of Jonathan Edwards. But I pulled out just a few of them that I think would be helpful for us, even in thinking about making our own. One of the number 13, he says, resolved to be endeavoring to find out fit objects of liberality and charity. He says, resolved to be endeavoring, to be working, to be thinking, to have active in my mind, where can I find somebody that I can show God's love to, that I can give something to, that I can give something that's mine, that I would want to hold on to, that I can give away. Number 14, resolve never to do anything out of revenge. Number 16, resolved never to speak evil of anyone so that it shall tend to his dishonor, more or less, upon no account except for some real good. So there's like, if I must say something negative about someone, let it be in the service of helping someone else. That's a pretty good test for our words. Number 19, resolve never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if I expected it would not be above an hour before I should hear the last trump. And you've probably heard variations on that. Like, you know, would you be doing that if you knew Jesus was coming back at 11:45? That's a good test. And it's something we want to be reminded of regularly. And I think it would save us from some things. It would save me from some things. Number 28. And this is where the read the Bible more. This is a read the Bible more that's really good. This is one of those ones I was thinking of earlier when I said I read these every few years and go, oh, yeah. Resolved to study the Scriptures so steadily, constantly, and frequently as that I may find and plainly perceive myself to grow in knowledge of the same. I want to study the Scriptures in such a way that it's just obvious that I'm growing in my knowledge of them. That's a read the Bible more that with some measurables. And we want to be careful with measurables. Because then we can start to think like, okay, I did the things on the list. Now I'm a good Christian, right? Just like doing the things on the list would never get us in. Doing the things on the list isn't what keeps us in. God keeps us by his power through faith for salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. God keeps us by his power, and he keeps us through his work in us. So we want to be careful about making a list that's like, okay, I did all the things, I'm holy. But it's not bad to be working hard by faith, trusting Christ and his work for us. And the last one that I want to read for now, number 56, resolved, never to give over nor in the least to slacken my fight with my corruptions. By that he means his remaining sin, however unsuccessful I may be. Never to give over nor in the least to slacken my fight with my corruptions, however unsuccessful I may be. Maybe you feel like you're being completely unsuccessful in your fight against sin. If you're continuing your fight against sin and your frustration over your falling and your turning to Christ by faith and confessing and repenting, you're doing what God would have you to do, to keep fighting. Yes, there will be sins that will remain with us until the day when we're glorified. But by God's grace, we want to keep fighting. Fighting against our own sin, fighting for love for God and for our neighbors. So this year in 2017, or this month in January, or this week, or this day, according to the grace that has come to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, let's resolve to glorify God with works of faith. May the name of our Lord Jesus be glorified in us and us in him, according to the great grace of our God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Oh God, would you answer this prayer of Paul's for each one of us? Would you help us if we've just been floating, making it through the day, making it through the month, making it through the year? Would you help us to see that you have made us for more than surviving until you come? You have made us to make much of you. You have made us to show by your power what a great Savior you are. Would you give us much grace so that you would get much glory through us, individually and corporately? Oh, would you do this for your glory and for our joy? In Jesus' name, amen.